At the Sound Healing Center, we have four main things going on: the Institute, the Sound Healing Store, the Sound Therapy Center, and the Sound Healing Research Foundation. At Globe Institute, we offer two sound healing certificates and one audio recording certificate. All of them are also offered online, as well as in-person here in Sausalito, outside of San Francisco. We're the only state-approved college in the entire United States that offers sound healing. David has created the number one selling books in the field of audio recording and sound healing. In recording, there's The Art of Mixing and The Art of Producing, and in sound healing, The Complete Guide to Sound Healing. He's also written a book on sound-loving relationships, creating harmony in loving relationships, including many sound healing techniques. It's all about being whole on your own, heart open. The Sound Healing Store has over 400 sound healing instruments and technologies. We also have a physical store where you can experience everything. In the store, we've got over 100 CDs and downloads. We've got all of my books. We have a full range of instruments, including crystal bowls, Tibetan bowls, didgeridoos, gongs, drums, rattles, tuning forks, and a full range of melodic instruments. We also have a wide range of consciousness-raising technologies, including sound chambers. We have sacred geometries and pendants, color and light therapies. We also have our brainwave assessment kit software and the voice analysis software. We got a contract with the largest dementia company in Northern California, and we've created 8 different protocols that have been implemented there for the last 2 years, and it's transformed the place dramatically. Check it out at soundfordementia.com. And we've got a full range of vibroacoustic tools. We make sound lounges, sound tables, sound vests, sound pillows, sound dolphins, and bass straps. All of these are excellent for a wide range of physical and emotional issues and just getting you relaxed and blissed out. At the Sound Healing Research Foundation, you can find over 1,000 clinical and student papers categorized for easy searching. You will also find the Medical Sound Association with over 1,000 doctors and sound therapists meeting bi-monthly to create treatment plans for a wide range of issues. These 30-page treatment plans are an excellent resource if you're working on a specific issue for yourself or a client. Check out medicalsoundassociation.com, where you can also join and attend our bi-monthly meetings. At the Sound Therapy Center, we have a list of over 40 issues and all the things that we offer for each issue. These include music and frequency CDs or downloads, treatment plans from the Medical Sound Association, and treatments we offer in person and online in the Sound Therapy Center for each specific issue. Finally, we have the Sound Education Association. We got a grant for $100,000 to bring our curriculum into 2 Montessori schools. With over 100 teachers and administrators, we've created over 2,500 exercises for kids from 3 months up to 18 years, all based on the books on brain development. We're now expanding the curriculum and creating schools around the world. Check out soundeducationassociation.com, where you can also join for free. You can find everything at soundhealingcenter.com. You can also email us at david@soundhealingcenter.com or call 415-777-2486. Now enjoy the podcast. Hi there, I'm David. Let me tell you about some things going on at the Institute. So we've got our Sound Healing Conference is our 19th International Sound Healing Conference, and that's already happened, but we've got free playback through November 30th. So if you go to globesoundhealingconference.com, you can check it out and register for free. And there's some amazing presenters. It's really one of our best conferences, including Tom Kenyon, the most powerful and most famous sound healer on the planet. But just a lot of really excellent interviews and sound baths and concerts before every presentation. So you're going to be blissed out. globesoundhealingconference.com. We've also got an open house coming up in here in Sausalito, just outside San Francisco, on Sunday, December 7th. It's all about how sound works physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. You get to go on the sound lounge and get blissed out and check out our facility there. It's a great experience, and people don't want to leave. We've got another sound bath with Ruby and I. These are amazing. In fact, I'm surprised how incredible they are. Ruby's just got the sweetest voice, and we really work well together. That's Saturday, December 20th, which is the winter solstice, and that's in Sausalito also. We also have a weekend intensive. It's like what we do in Mount Shasta, but we're doing it here in Sausalito, January 10th and 11th. How sound works at all levels of reality and how to play different instruments. We're going to do treatments on each other. It's really quite profound 2 days. It's a Saturday and a Sunday, January 10th and 11th. Our next semester in person starts January 20th, and that's here in Sausalito, and that's our whole certificate program. Again, we're the only state-approved college in the whole United States. You can half of it's online. You can start that anytime. We also have our summer intensive in coming up in June, June 9th to the 19th. You can start the online portion now, though, as well. The summer intensive's 10 days. Right. Then we've got the online version. You can do the whole program online. You don't have to come here at all. And that next start time is January 15th. The next start time for a recording program is March 31st. It's all about how to record, mix, and produce. And then we've got tomorrow, we've got our voice analysis training for our software. If you wanted to join, you still could go to voicenalysisharmony.com. Everything else we already talked about. So again, you can find everything at soundhealingcenter.com. So today we're doing our annual gratitude show, similar to the one we do every year, just in case you forget about how important gratitude is. It's really very helpful for myself to really get focused back in gratitude. And with Thanksgiving coming up, it's just perfect. You know, we're going to be going through a lot of things to be grateful for, including Miss Bear here, my kitty. And the interesting thing about the brain is the brain actually is always looking for negative things. It remembers negative things way more than positive things. So we have to work hard to remember all the positive things. And there are so many things we can be grateful for. Let's just start with the energy of gratitude, and then we'll get into all the different things we can be grateful for. The energy of gratitude is really good for you. When you run the energy of gratitude and do a sound around gratitude, it's just so good for your system. It makes you healthy, in fact. It's not like the negative emotions, like, anxiety and fear and stuff, those will break you down. Gratitude is a beautiful sound. Right. So let's practice with the sound of gratitude. So let's tune in to your physical heart. We're not running love, we're just tuning into the heart and bring up the energy of gratitude and appreciation for your heart beating 24/7, keeping you alive. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Feel this gratitude and appreciation for your heart working 24/7 for you. Feel this gratitude down to the cellular level. Let it go through every part of your body, this energy of gratitude for your heart. Let it surround you like a bubble and go through all of your auras. But also, we're now creating a field of gratitude with this whole call, with this whole podcast. Everybody that's listening is creating their own bubble, and that's creating a whole resonant field of all the bubbles together, probably spanning the whole planet, people listening, and over time as well. Not only people listening now, but people are going to be listening to this over the next month or so. So we've created a resonant field that's really way stronger than your own little bubble, right? But also there's the field of gratitude on the planet. 400,000 babies born today, so a lot of people in gratitude. A lot of people live in gratitude, right? So there's this massive field on the Earth, surrounding the Earth, probably in the atmosphere, where often things get held electromagnetically, of gratitude, of all the people on the planet that are running gratitude at any time. So we've got three fields. The whole planet, our own little call here, which could be the whole planet, but not as many people, and your own little bubble. So tune in to all three levels of gratitude. The planet, this call, and your own little bubble. Tune in to all three at once and feel this immense gratitude energy. If this energy of gratitude had a sound, go up and down in your head. Find a sound in your head that seems to match this gratitude. Actually, you can do it out loud. We won't hear you. Okay. And then, when you got it, make the sound of gratitude with me. And we'll make this field even stronger. It's so good for you. Right? It's really just excellent energy, gratitude. It's interesting. When you start adding up all the things you can be grateful for, it's really amazing how many things there are. Whereas if you were to, and we're going to go through probably about 50 of them today, but if you were to add up all of the things that are a bummer, all of your challenges and conflicts, you're probably only going to have about 5, maybe 10 main ones, right? Probably maybe only even 10 total. We've got way more to be grateful for than we do problems. Even though those problems can be big, there's some pretty cool things to be grateful for too. So it's really a much bigger area. Again, the brain is designed to really focus on the negative. It's actually well proven in studies of the brain. If you do something or do some work, and you do really great work or do a performance or do anything, and you do it really well, if you make one little mistake, you're probably going to be remembering that one little mistake besides the whole hour or hours of really good work you did. It's so common. We commonly remember the one or more negative things. They stick in our head way more. If things go well, we normally don't keep track of it, right? And this is a big problem in relationships. Having done the book on relationships, we commonly look, oh God, there was a little argument there, there was a little fight, there was a little conflict. What about all the 99% of the time when you're really humming, which you totally don't register? You don't remember. We commonly don't remember the good. So it's really important to put reality in perspective by adding up all of the gratitude. Because it's otherwise, it's not real. You're just totally focused on the negative, and that hurts you physically. It will break your body down when it's not even the whole deal. We're just ignoring 90% of the reality, the positive side, which is the gratitude. Okay. So we're going to go through many things to be grateful for, but here's the deal, which is really the most important part of all. If you've got a list of gratitude and you've got these negative things, you know, it's nice because the gratitude overcomes the negative things. But when you can actually be grateful for the negative things, oh my God, everything changes. And it's not easy. It's especially not easy to be grateful for negative things when they're in your face happening in the moment. It's possible, but it's not easy. In fact, it's often, sometimes not easy to be grateful for the negative afterwards. There's many things that we learn from negative situations, conflicts, challenges, and that's really the whole deal. There's a whole bunch of studies in universities where they actually have gone through all the things you learn from trauma. Let me pull it up. Here it is. This is, I think, from MIT University. So one is increased appreciation of life. That's interesting. You know, when you have a challenge or a conflict, the one thing that becomes very clear is how lucky we are to be alive. Right? It's like, oh, this, you know, often all of the things we're grateful for pop in our head. It's also warmer relations with others. Especially if you go through a challenge or a conflict with others, you know, it's like a bonding. It's like a total bonding. I remember when we had the big earthquake here in 1986, all of a sudden I got to know people way closer. And it was really, even the neighbors, I'd never met the neighbors. And all of a sudden we're all hanging out together. Also, a recognition of new possibilities for one's life. When you have a challenge or a conflict, it makes you really start thinking about ways to do things differently. Right? Even if you blow it and you do not meet the challenge, at least you know one thing, and that's not to do the same thing again. Right? You've ruled out one thing that didn't work. So you've made a little headway. Right? It's also a greater sense of personal strength and spiritual development. If you don't die, it's like, oh my God, I made it through that, right? Even if you got hurt, I still made it through it, and you are way more ready for the next time, because if it happens again, you know, oh, I made it last time. I'm not even going to be afraid this time. It may be difficult, but at least I'll make it through. This is my favorite one, though. Increased compassion for others. Oh, my God. Especially want people that are going through the same thing that you went through. When you've had a challenge, and even if you don't make it well, if you don't make it through well, or if you do well, you know how hard it is when you see others going through that. And it's so easy not only to have compassion for them, but to help them and actually give them kind words and even helpful things to help them through it. It's like, oh, it's going to pass. You know, it's not going to last forever. So it can be really effective for helping others. There's one thing that's not even in here. You could even make that your job.
You could make your career out of how to help people with a challenge that you had. So you've been through this challenge. Even if you didn't blow it, you finally learned what you could have done, and now you can help others go through that. A lot of people make careers out of huge challenges and conflicts they've had. There's also the increased capacity for forgiveness and humility. Yeah, it's easy to forgive when you realize how difficult it is out there. This world's a really challenging sometimes. And also an increased desire to understand things. Oh, what could we have done differently? And how could we even teach our kids or let others know how we could have done things differently? How it can be done differently? Or how we could even change the world, right? So that that doesn't come up for other people. That's really cool. And a deeper understanding of the ambiguous nature of things. It's often not clear whose fault it is. I mean, the truth is, the fault is mass consciousness, which has basically been developed over a long period of time. But basically, it's really not clear how things happen. So it's like, it really, you can give yourself a break, because it's not easy to do everything perfect. Right? Right? It's also about becoming more aware of the limitations of our knowledge. There's only so much we can learn and as to how to deal with stuff. Right? In most cases, when survivors lose home and possessions, they acquire a profound life-changing realization of what truly matters. Most express a deep, prolific gratitude for their survival and make a concerted effort to make better use of their remaining lives. Survivors help one another, express previously unexpressed love for friends, family, and strangers. People band together when they've been through an actual trauma together. Loss brings new appreciation and new understandings. It reminds me of the book by Carlos Castaneda, The Teachings of Don Juan, how really even death is our teacher, so that every single thing you go through is teaching us how to actually go to the next level. Ultimately, it's all about moving to a place of stillness or even oneness, so that you are no longer affected by these challenges and conflicts. That right there is the ultimate lesson of all life, is to learn how to create your own stable, consistent vibration. There's a lot of ways to do that. Could be from a crystal ball to love, to source, to higher beings, to a kitty cat for that matter. It's how to create a stable, consistent vibration internally, so you are not affected by anything that ever happens. It's not easy, not easy. But that right there is the ultimate lesson, because then you are at peace and happy, but especially you have way more capacity and availability to help others and even come up with new ways to change the world, so those challenges and conflicts don't even happen anymore, right? Or just teach people on a massive scale how to be at peace in those challenges. This is the whole deal. It's really the biggest lesson. And that is growth. That is growing. How do we grow from these challenges or conflicts? It's all about learning and going to the next level, to higher and higher levels of consciousness. Whether it's, you know, gratitude or love or compassion or joy or bliss, you know, or oneness. That's really the whole deal. So, from that perspective, you can be grateful for every single challenge. That is so huge. Because once you got that, there's no more stress in your life ever. Seriously. There's no more stress. because it's like the biggest stress is, well, commonly we look at these challenges and conflicts when they're coming. It's like, oh, God, oh, God. And then when they're there, it's like, ah, right? And then when they're gone, they're like, ah, ah, am I going to live? Am I going to make it through? Am I going to recover from this PTSD? Right? So it's like this huge thing of stress. So you can be grateful for every single challenge, no matter what, because it is giving you the opportunity to learn and grow. Here's another one that's really interesting, and this is from the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama says, when somebody hurts you, they are creating karma for themselves. They're hurting themselves. You don't even have to do anything. You don't have to get upset or fight back or anything. They're already hurting themselves. And they are giving you an opportunity to practice compassion. You don't learn compassion by studying it. You learn compassion by practicing it. So you can be grateful because they are sacrificing themselves for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So the ultimate is to be grateful for challenges. Uh-oh. So, oh my God, can you be grateful for the noise? Can you learn to be at peace around it? Can you be grateful for the chaos in the city? All the distortion. Can you be grateful for the political situation going on? That's huge for a lot of people now. It's bringing things up to be healed. It's teaching people the importance of caring. All of this selfishness is teaching people the importance of caring. Big time, actually. A lot of people are going, I don't feel anything anymore. It's all about learning about caring. Right? If, when you can be grateful for every frustration, aggravation, irritation, disturbance, annoyance, nuisance, disappointment, dissatisfaction, you're humming. Because gratitude is humming. And it's so good for you. To be grateful even for all suffering on the planet. Wow. Oh my God, right? To be grateful for war. To be grateful for people hurting each other. To be grateful for people that are even dying out of other people not being caring. It's teaching us to care. It's all teaching us how to make things better. Some more than others, right? You can always be grateful for anything, no matter how bad. Actually, I had one of my students, she said, I can't be grateful for something. I was like, what? She said, last week, someone shot my mother in the leg. Oh my God. And she's now lost her job and will be homeless in 3 weeks. I'm like, oh my God. I took a deep breath and said, are you closer to your mother? She said, oh yeah, we're way closer. And I've even figured out how to have compassion for the guy that shot her. Like, oh my God, it's happening. Alice Bailey says World War II was the biggest heart opening we've ever had. 30 million people died, or was it way more than that? Yeah. But so many people saw their friends and family die or get hurt that it opened their heart. and it really transformed people in a massive way to care more, right? And also to see how important peace is, right? So every challenge and conflict you can be grateful for. It's not easy, again, but you can. Now, if you can't be grateful for your challenges and conflicts, you can always revert to being grateful for the things you have. And that's the big list that we were talking about earlier. I want to play, there's probably about 30 or 40 here in this video. I've got a video where I show all the different things you can be grateful for, and I've got 30 people toning, singing any vowel, with the energy of gratitude. So I invite you to sing along. There's one thing I left out of the video, though. It's actually a really big one that I've actually been thinking about. I keep thinking about a lot. And that is, I've never been hungry a single day of my life, ever, except not getting back from a hike in time or fasting. Right? Never, ever been hungry a single day. My kitty's never been hungry a single day of her life. And there are millions starving to death right now. In fact, there's probably somebody died. Probably people have died since we started this podcast from starvation. Never, ever been hungry. Pretty good. And there's a lot of people that have not been hungry. So we can be grateful for all of them as well. Okay. So let me play this video and tone along the energy of gratitude with it. Okay. Looks like Panda's ready to go there. Okay. Let me find it here. Okay. Enjoy. Tone along any vowel through the whole thing.
Thank you. There are so many things we can be grateful for that we totally forget. I mean, just life itself. Just every breath. I just thought of another one. Heat in my home. Right? You know, what's really cool is to not only write down these general ones that I just went through, which is good. You can watch this video and write them down. It's nice to have that list. But also to make your own personal list of gratitude. I mean, I like this little fur bag here. I mean, I just love this little fur bag, right? If you just look around your house and look at all the things you have in your house that you love. Think of all the people you love. Right? So many. There's another one that's really huge, and that is all the caring that people do on this planet. Whether it's simply letting people in front of you in traffic when they're pulling in, or just helping someone pick something up. I mean, if you haven't checked out the videos on YouTube of people doing amazing acts of kindness. It's so cool. There's people do so many amazing, simple things every day for others. And that's really amazing. There's also another thing about gratitude that is really interesting. And that is how effective it is for overcoming grief. If you can think, oh, it's not a bummer that they're gone. Or maybe even it is. You can say it's a bummer regardless. But think, wait a second. How lucky am I that I had such love in my life? Thank you. Thank you. I mean, grief is based on love. So you can either focus on the bummer that they're gone, or you can focus on how lucky you are to have had so much love in your life. A lot of people never have such love. Gratitude is just perfect, and it's just a choice to see it as gratitude. It's really a choice for everything. You can always see everything as a bummer, or you can switch it to gratitude. And it's not the norm. Most people, you know, even our language is built around making judgments and making things to be a bummer. So we're not, it's not the norm to go, oh, there was a catastrophe. Thank you for that challenge. What can I learn from it? How can I now be even more peaceful in the future with every challenge in my life? Right? It's really your choice to switch it over to gratitude. And it's just one thought away. It's just, oh, gratitude. Ta-da. And then if you make the sound of it, you get it physically in your body and you get that peace and energy in your body. It's so good for you. Or even if you just run the gratitude, you can even do a silent sound and then you'll still feel it. But if you're just running gratitude, you're getting that stable, consistent vibration. Gratitude is a stable, consistent vibration that is really good for your health. Right. Now, it's interesting, when we did that meditation earlier and tuned in to your own gratitude bubble, and then we tuned into the gratitude through the whole call here, and then we tuned in also to the gratitude on the whole planet. Three different levels of gratitude. Well, when you tune in to multiple things at once, you go into a place of peace. It's called theta as the brainwave rate. It's a brainwave rate between 3.5 and 7 cycles per second. And it's a very still state. when you're actually tuned in to multiple things at once. I've done a whole show about this where we're, you know, tune in to multiple sparkles on the water, tune in to multiple sounds in a mix of music, tune into a whole view, tune into all the sounds in a sound instrument, whether it's a crystal bowl, all the harmonics, or all of the harmonics within a gong, or all of the sounds within a bunch of sound healing instruments at once. When you tune into multiple things at once, you go into a really peaceful, still state. In fact, your whole brain starts working. So if you tune into all the things you can be grateful for, let me say it the other way. Say you got a problem. Tune into not only your problem, but tune in to bring up all your problems. Go for it. Right? You're not going to fix them all. It's just a matter of just noticing them all. And at the same time, now that you got your gratitude list, look at all the things you can be grateful for. So now, this huge array of like 50 things in front of you, and your brain just goes, ah, it's all perfect. You can do that personally. So you look at all of your own things you can be grateful for and all your challenges and conflicts. But you can also do it globally. Look at all the horrible things in the world and all the incredibly beautiful things. Huge one is nature and the way people care for each other so much, not only for each other, but for family and friends, right? And all the people that are trying to make the world better. There's so many people out there trying to make the world better. It's really quite, and all the love that people are running with all the challenges and stuff. It's amazing the amount of love people run. I mean, just about anybody can run love these days. It's really pretty easy, right? So now we're looking at all of the challenges and conflicts and horrible things on the planet and all of the positive things at once. And you go into a really peaceful state of stillness where you're seeing all these things at once and you're perfectly still and at peace. And it's like, it's all perfect. But then, instead of labeling the stuff bad over here, what if we label it good? It's teaching us compassion. It's teaching us how to be more and more still in our life. It's teaching us to go to higher states of consciousness where we're one with the universe, where it doesn't matter and it doesn't affect us. So now there's not negative and positive. It's all positive. It's all perfect. It's all perfect. It's tricky. I should say, I don't exactly have it down myself. I've made good headway, though, very good headway, to see all of the negative as not negative and welcome it. Then all anxiety and stress is gone. I want to end with my song, Unconditional Love. Pull it up here, and we'll just listen. Okay, cool. Check this out. Unconditional love. How grateful I am for love. Thank you.
Gratitude makes it so you can breathe. May we all live in gratitude. Go to bliss, come back to gratitude. Bliss, gratitude. Hold that energy for the rest of your life. Thanks for listening.